You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, afford anything you want in life, and make over six or seven figures a year by investing in real estate. And in today's show, I am super pumped to bring on a fantastic friend of mine who has helped many people become financially independent. And now today, she's going to show us how she helps other people and how she's going to help you as well. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
What's up? What's up? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. Now, I am at the end of a three-week trip throughout Japan. So I have five kids, my wife and my dad. We all came to Japan right after the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. Like the next 3 days later, we got off the conference, went home and relaxed a little bit. And then I have been in Japan from, I think it was like April 19th, all the way now. It's middle of May or beginning of May. So 3 weeks now. And this is the tail end. This is the last day. We're flying home. But I've been documenting my trip through Japan, showing you like where to get the best Wagyu, which no kidding, I actually got it in Costco. And it was $90 for 5 pounds of Wagyu, a tomahawk steak. It's awesome. So check out on my Instagram. I mean, we got the best donut place. I show you all this great stuff. Check out my Instagram where I just walk through everything I'm doing here in Japan for 3 weeks. The Dustin Heiner, T-H-E, Dustin Heiner. You can follow me on there. You can even reach out to me on a DM. I really appreciate you listening to the show, and I want to see you too invest. And so if you're investing because you listen to the show, hit me up. Let me know. I really, really want to know. Send me a DM on Instagram. But I'm having so much fun here. We're flying out tomorrow and going back to the States. Now, there's one thing that happened at RubeCon, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, that I am so pumped to share with you about. Because you are a listener, I'm going to give you, actually, no, I was just going to kind of give you a sneak peek, but this is what I really want to do. I want to give you free access to a new platform I've been building. One of my students, he is also the host of the Master Passive Income Espanol podcast. He came to me one day. He said, "Hey, Dustin, I really want to do," this is one of my students. He goes, "I really want to do a podcast in Espanol to help people speak Espanol or speak Spanish to be able to invest in real estate. I want to do that show." So praise the Lord. Fantastic. So far we had, I think like maybe a dozen shows now. He's doing great. And then he said, "Hey Dustin, I'm a programmer. How about we work out a software to help people to invest in real estate?" I said, "That sounds like a fantastic idea. In fact, let's do this. Let's create something that we can give away to the podcast listeners, at least for a limited time, because I want to help you to invest in real estate." So this is what we did. We created a new software that helps you to check and analyze your deals. Now, what I've used to do is give all my students the Greenlight Deal Analyzer. It's the 1 minute Greenlight Deal Analyzer that you just put in the address as well as a couple criteria like purchase price, things like that, and how much you would rent for. And it would pop out if, you know, basically give you a criteria by green light and red light. And it's Excel sheet is really what it is. It's Excel sheet, really advanced formulas and all sorts of stuff. And if you got that, then it'll pop out a basically criteria. If it fits or meets the criteria, it would have a green light. Or if it didn't meet the criteria, it would have a red light. Well, as I'm talking to Juan, I said, "Hey Juan, let's create the Greenlight Deal Analyzer in a software and do so much more." So we built, and it's currently developing, we have so many amazing ways that we're going to change and create, not just change and create, but like to like the roadmap for this software to help you become an income builder. Now, probably next week or the week after, I'm going to release an episode, and it's actually one of my talks that I gave at RubeCon, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, where I talked about the changing of the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, which is now gone. It's now gone, but it's changing to something else. I'm going to hold that off until I think maybe next week or the week after, where I will play it. So you'll get it in, I guess, how everybody else got it at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference to help you to become an investor. But because you listen to my podcast, for a limited time, I'm going to give you free access to my deal calculator, which in the future will even help you find deals, even help you to put offers in and buy deals, get you financing for these deals, as well as collect rent, do all your accounting, basically all the software that I've been just telling you, hey, go use this software, or go use that software, or go use this software. There's like 6 or 7 different ones that you would need to use and sign up for. Well, Juan and I, we're absolutely creating our own software, and it is phenomenal. I unveiled it at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference this year, gave everybody access to it. But here is how you are going to get access to the Income Builder platform. Go to incomebuilder.io, and I'll put the link in the description. And you don't need to do anything other than create an account. Right now, it's completely free to create an account. So go and create an account. There's a little limitations in there, meaning you're not going to get every bit of the entire system, but you're going to get a free account and you're going to start analyzing your properties and start creating income. Because the reason why I created the Income Builder software is because if you listen to, I can't remember how many episodes ago, but I gave you the roadmap as an investor. Every single investor must go down this roadmap. I laid it out for you, and I'm basically putting this into a software that you and other real estate investors can create income so that you can eventually have financial independence. So get my software completely for free for a limited time. Eventually, you're going to lock it down to where you're going to have to pay for it. But hopefully, if you're one of the quick ones on this, if you listen to this like a year from now and it's closed down, I'm sorry. But if you go to incomebuilder.io and click create an account, you can just create an account for free for a limited time. You're basically going to be testing it out for us, making sure that everything works, and they're going to be loading so many more amazing things in there, like how to find properties, how to get them off market, skip tracing, things like that, and then collecting rents. Like, everything is going to be inside there. I'm so pumped about this software. This is like the missing piece of Master Passive Income. Well, with that, I also now am bringing on a friend of mine. She's been on the show a couple times, but really fantastic friend of mine. She speaks at RubeCon every single year, and she just crushes it. In fact, the first year that she spoke at RubeCon, that you do a good job when the audience, they get touched by what you say. Well, this lady, not only by what she said did she touch the audience and they were moved to invest and to move forward, but the person taking pictures for the event, I hired a photographer to come and take pictures. She was broke down crying because she was listening to my friend speak. It really moved her. Now she's getting successful. Well, I can't wait to share with you another amazing interview with my good friend who has written a book, a fantastic book that is going to help all of us become financially independent. We're going to talk about all this on the show, but you could also find a link to the book in the show notes in the description. So also get her book. She's fantastic. I'm bringing on my good friend, Lisa Peterson. And I want to pause for just a quick second and say thank you so much for listening to the show. If you've gotten anything out of the show, I would appreciate it if you went to anywhere that you listen to, say Apple or Spotify or wherever, and leave a 5-star review. Honestly, I really appreciate you leaving an honest review. I just love giving all this information out, and I want to see you succeed. Also, send this to one person. Just tell one person and say, hey, Dustin wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. You need to listen to this because it's going to change your life. Lastly, get my real estate investing course completely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, rental to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course showing you everything in the business so that you can become financially independent. Lisa, thank you so much for being here.
Dustin, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
This is terrific. You've been on the show many times before. And the reason why I have you come speak at RubeCon, as well as come on the podcast, as well as we're friends, is we see eye to eye on lots of things, but we also see differently. Like, me being a guy and just how I think, you think totally different in certain other ways. And when we speak at RubeCon, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, I bring a perspective, you bring a different perspective, and everybody hopefully gets a well-rounded perspective, because I don't think I know everything. I know you don't think that you know everything. And so that's what I love about having great friends like you, is because we help balance each other out and help everybody. So you've done lots of coaching, but right now you just wrote a book, Money Catalyst. You spoke at RubeCon. Now I want to, because everybody, I'm going to point back to listen to the last episodes where Lisa shares about lots of other things. But at the same time, Lisa, could you tell us why you wrote the first book, Mindful Millionaire? And then now you have The Money Catalyst. I love this title. It's a very fantastic title, but talk to us about how you transitioned into this now a new volume.
Yeah. So I've had my business for 11 years here in Sedona, Arizona, and I've been coaching business owners, leaders about how to understand the relationship that you have with money and how when you understand it better, you make better decisions about your investing, you make better decisions about your life, about your relationships. Like if you understand money and how it affects you, I feel like you're going to be a better human all the way around. Would you agree with that, Dustin?
100%, 100%. Especially if you don't have money too, you start to maybe not do the best things or make the best decisions. And so I think it's a great, great point.
Yeah. And so I've been obsessed with this conversation for 11 years now. And I love being able to come and talk about this stuff at RootCon. It's such a special event. So everyone needs to be a part of it, just putting that plug in. But what I had happened was a few years ago, I took a client of mine who had inspired my first book to Paris as a thank you. So I felt immense gratitude because she had opened up her life and allowed me to write about her life, which is a really intimate thing, right? Most people wouldn't be comfortable with that, especially like the stuff that we don't want anyone to know. And yet she let me write about it. And I was like, we're going to go to Paris one day. And then the pandemic happened and we couldn't go and we put it off. And then in May of 2023, we went and it was the most magical experience, but it was magical on multiple levels because I thought I was giving her this beautiful experience of abundance. And when we got there, having the fact that she'd never been there before, it was brand new. She had this like very lightness to her being and everything was like, look at that rose, look at this cup of hot chocolate. Like everything was just over the top excitement. And I realized about, it's almost like a childish way, you know, you have kids, like experiencing something for the first time makes you realize that there might be a whole bunch of room to experience life in a different way. I think that's one of the things that kids do for us. But in this case, I wasn't expecting it. And what ended up also happening is we had this beautiful experience. I come home, I'm flying home. I had upgraded to Polaris, which I had never done before. So I'm in my beautiful bed on the plane, living it up. And this movie comes on called Living by Bill Nighy, and or not by him, but he's an actor in this movie. And the whole entire movie was about this guy who's living this very boring, like, small, tight, constricted, scarce life. And he worked in a government job and he just moved papers all day long. Like, this is the epitome of who you're like telling people not to be, right? So I was like, wow, this guy's got it bad. And then, halfway through the movie, he gets this notice that from his doctor that he has like 3 months to live. And I don't even totally understand what happened to me. But the minute he got the diagnosis, I started crying. Like, I couldn't stop crying. I was like sobbing. And I think it was the whole experience in Paris and then seeing this guy and then seeing myself in the fact that I was still, even though I had written a book about abundance and scarcity, even though I feel like I live the most amazing life, I was like, there is still uncharted waters here. There are things that I have not done yet, and I need to change my mindset. Like, I need to go big or go home, you know, as they say. And I proceeded to live the next year of my life with this new mindset of abundance. And I went like to Bali. I was asked to speak at a conference in Bali. And instead of going for like the week, I went for like 3.5 weeks. You know, I was like, I'm going to do everything bigger than life. And so fast forward a year later, my publisher asked me to write a book about abundance. And when I started to try and be inspired, all I could think about was what had happened in Paris and when I was coming home. So I used that to write a little short story about what happened. And when I provided it to my community who were helping me workshop this new book, they were like, what happens next? This is so good. And I was like, I don't know. It wasn't supposed to be like a fictional story. But basically it became the money catalyst through that inspiration. And I've been working on it for the past year, and I'm so proud of it because I think, you know, I don't know about you, Dustin, but I know that if I can learn something new through a fictional parable, right? A fable, a story that has real aspects to it, I'm going to like totally read that book. Like I'm all over it. It's so much more entertaining. And I just wasn't sure I could do it, but now I can say I did it.
I would say my favorite book that I, whenever I get asked a question, like what's one book somebody should read? You know, I mean, I would say the Bible, number one, but number two, it's always going to be Richest Man in Babylon by George S. Clausen. Such an amazing, so many great principles in there. And the guy learns and you learn at the same time. And it like is ingrained in your brain. You can't forget it. If I just tell you, save 10% of your money, blah, blah, I give you the list, you're going to forget. But if you actually have those principles in a story form, I love it. 100% agree. Now, this story, is this a parable that you created, or was this kind of embodied off of somebody else?
So I'm similar to Mirabelle, the main character, because I had that epiphany. But just to be clear, Mirabelle is like in her 30s. I'm in my late 50s. So this is written for a younger person to kind of learn the things that I've learned. But what ended up happening is Mirabelle, Leela is like Jenny, who inspired the book. So now she's inspired two books. You have to laugh about this. Like, I'm like, where are we going next, girlfriend? Because we're going to have to just keep writing books together. I work. You just show me how to live. But Ethan, the husband of Mirabelle, definitely has some qualities similar to my husband. You know, like I started with things I knew. But then once I got those characters worked out, my community started helping me understand what was missing. Because when you write a fiction book, it's very different than nonfiction in that if your characters do not invite diversity, let's say, like if you don't see yourself in the characters, you kind of don't take the book as seriously as if you see yourself in some way. And so my audience was very clear and like, hey, you know, you look a certain way, you have money, you've got this life. Like you need to bring in other characters that are struggling with these things that haven't dealt with some of the stuff that you've dealt with. And so they helped me start to create a whole community of different ideas, right? Just like you started this conversation, like we need to be able to include different thoughts and different perspectives, and that we all learn from that. And so they ended up helping me do that, but it was inspired by real life people. And then it took off and became a whole different thing that I would have never imagined. Like the creativity, I didn't know I was that creative.
That is so good. And so as I'm thinking through, your book, first one that I read, The Mindful Millionaire, that one is definitely much more educational. Stories in there too, but not a fable or a parable or a story that presents a point in the end. Could you help us to understand, okay, the money catalyst, you and I both know, because you've invested in real estate, lots of real estate, commercial real estate, Airbnbs, and all that sort of stuff. You've exited lots of properties as well. You do really well financially, you and your husband as well. And so it's like, Are you bringing in principles that you learned yourself into this? And what would those principles be?
Yeah. So a couple of things that I just want to mention, really funny side note. This, you know, you and I are both from California. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the story is based in San Francisco. And I had to do some homework because I really wanted the characters to have bought a foreclosed home in South San Francisco. And the timing was like around 2015. So I was like, oh, what was the market? So it was definitely like real estate oriented in the beginning, you know, just from past experience, but I wanted to plug that in. So the eight catalysts are that whole transformation, kind of a reverse engineering of the transformation of what I do when I have coached people people personally. So 8 stages of a process of learning something new and having a new perspective. And those different catalysts, for those who know, like, or don't know, like a catalyst is, the whole idea of a catalyst is it's speeding up something that may have occurred anyways, but the catalyst is speeding it up. So each of these are speeding up her learning as she goes through the process. And they're taking you through phases of self-understanding, like, where do we run into trouble with ourselves, with our thoughts, with our patterns, with our behavior? And, you know, I teach a lot about this in The Mindful Millionaire, but a lot of our money stories come, they go way back to what was happening when we were growing up. And then we bring them into our lives, but we don't realize, we think we're free and independent, and we're making great choices. But in reality, like, I mean, one of the things that just comes to mind, like, it's come up a lot lately, like, maybe, you know, father was a heavy gambler, and it's not that uncommon, sadly, but the ideas of how you think about money when you grew up in a home where there was never enough to pay for things because your dad had a good job, but he would spend everything gambling. And so you hate money because when money comes in, it means that it's not going to be around for very long, you know, like all these different things that happen. And so the story is helping people look at what might have happened that's playing into the decisions that you're making today. And how can you heal those? And when I say heal, like forgive, provide yourself compassion, maybe have conversations with people who you haven't been able to talk to. Like, it's really basic stuff. And I will say this, my husband gave me a challenge because The Mindful Millionaire is like spiritual, it's probably more spiritual. And my husband said to me, like, Lisa, if you could write a book that no matter what religion or spirituality or whatever somebody came from, like, this book be neutral, could you do that? And I was like, I think so, but that's interesting. It's a challenge. And so in the book, it meets people wherever they're at. You know, if you're Christian or you're, you know, you've studied a certain type of, you know, religion, like, it doesn't talk about any of those things. It's kind of meeting you in a place of like love and compassion and self-understanding. And the only thing that kind of runs through it all is that there's an infinite power that sort of runs through all of life. And so I did that purposefully so that it could help more people, like, meet everybody wherever they're at. And then you can bring your own beliefs about whatever and healing into the experience of what I'm showing people to do. And Maya, who's the coach in the book, she's guiding Mirabelle through these 8 catalysts on the pace that works for Mirabelle. Like, okay, now you're ready for this next catalyst. So that's where the kind of going back to Richest Man in Babylon, the teachings are coming through as you go along. And each chapter has questions so that not only are you seeing what's happening to the characters, you're encouraged to answer questions about what's happening for you as you read this story.
And so the Mirabelle is the person that she discovers certain ahas because she's learning, and the catalyst, if I remember correctly, what you said is catalyst is to help you do something faster, or it's meaning, it seems like, to help somebody learn faster or do something faster, a catalyst to, you know, make things quicker, faster, whatever. And so in the 8, you said 8 different lessons that she's learning. And so does she have a failure and then sees the, okay, this is the way to do it, and then quickly learns? Is that kind of the pattern?
Yeah. Like, there's some themes. Her father moved out when she was very young, and so that created extra pressure for her mom. Fascinating thing that I realized when I was writing this book, when I think back about all the folks that I've worked with for all these years, it is a very common thing, particularly for men and women, when the father figure was not kind of taking on this more traditional, like, teaching about money and teaching about responsibility and like being there, oftentimes there can be challenges in someone's interpretation of money. It's fascinating. I was like, oh my gosh, it shows up so much. So I really played that up in this story. When it was coming in, I was like, well, why is she struggling? And I was like, oh, her dad, you know, left and wasn't really involved. And then her mom had to take on all this responsibility and it was really stressful for her. So you're witnessing her realizing these memories and then like, oh, that's why I do these things. That's why I have these behaviors with money, or that's why I let Ethan kind of take the lead and I wasn't really an active participant in this. So you're watching her learn and fall down, and she has a big job and she makes a mistake at work that really scare her and kind of almost lose her job. So we're watching her struggle through life like many of us do. But then what happens when these things don't go right? And when, you know, she struggles in her relationship or she struggles at work, how is she learning from this? And then how is she also creating a better relationship with her husband through these experiences? At first, it feels like they're not on the same page and they're sort of, you know, fighting about it. And I'll tell you, Dustin, like it was hard to like let her fail or have them fight or have them not, you know, be living in the same room. Like it was painful. I wanted everybody to be happy and joyful, but that does not make a good story. So
in the writing of it, you had to put yourself, it seems like, put yourself in that position, and everybody reading it, they're going to be feeling that too, because I think you're right. You said in the beginning, the people that read books, they love to see themselves in it, and that gravitates them. You know, like when you're watching, when I grew up in the 80s, watching movies, anyone with like, you know, like a 13-year-old kid is like, oh, that's me. And then you identify it, then you grab onto it. Same thing with like Richest Man of Babylon 2. Like I didn't have much money when I first read it, and I was learning all those lessons like, oh my goodness. So I identified with that. I love it. Now with you getting in the money catalyst, these 8 principles, is there a sum up, like if you sum up all the different 8 catalysts together or 8 money catalysts together, is there like a boil down, this is in the end, I hope you get this out of the book?
Yeah. 2 parts to that answer. The first is that what I realized in writing the book, and one of the big messages that comes through, is that this idea of abundance is a journey. It's not a destination. And it is only written, it is only to be written by you. Nobody else can tell you what an abundant life is. Like you've got to figure it out for yourself. Okay. So really I'll go big and say the goal is that by the end of the book, you are realizing that there are some aspects of your life that you probably need to focus in on and spend more time figuring out what really matters to you and where have you let patterns, behaviors, things people told you you're supposed to do, like all of that drop away so that you can get into like understanding like what is most important to you and how are you going to not only see it, but make it a priority in your life and start doing the thing. So let's take real estate investing. You and I both know people will dream about real estate investing for years and years and years, but they're never putting it as a top priority. And if you don't put it as a top priority, it's probably not going to happen. So somebody who wants to read this book and question their assumptions may come to the core reason why they're not taking action on buying that first property. And by the end of the book, they're like, I get it. It's my time. I am going to do this. I'm not going to listen to any more excuses. I'm going to go take action now.
I love it. And there was something you said in the middle there that I've been really doing recently, like last, I don't know, 6 months, maybe a year, is questioning things that we've been told by other people. And because, you know, when you're young, you hear something from your parents or from teachers or from media, wherever, like you hear it and it becomes like, that this is what it is, X, Y, and Z. Like I know it now because somebody told me. Well, then what about you trying to figure out if that's actually true? You know, if like we don't have enough money in general. And so you're always fighting scarcity. Well, maybe we do, you know? And so being able to ask questions of yourself, I'll give you a quick one that was really interesting. I was So my dad, little Japanese guy, he's 78 years old now, you know, but in May of last year, 2024, he got diagnosed with cancer right after Rubicon. Got diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and he was getting so weak he could barely walk. It was really, really. So I was like, oh my goodness, he only has like 6 months. My mom passed away in 2014 from stage 4 lung cancer, and I watched everything to chemo and all that sort of stuff. And so, anyways, I'll fast forward the story. My dad had cancer, stage 4, started getting weaker and weaker, losing weight. Cause you know, when you get cancer, you just start losing weight. Well, my dad never wanted to take chemo. He's like, I'm not going to take chemo. I know that it's either the cancer or chemo is going to kill you. So he decided not to. But then he found something that apparently somebody in 2017 found a way to cure his own cancer. I'll fast forward the story. Basically, he takes Panacure, which is like ivermectin. It's a deworming medicine. And he said, in 2017, he had like pancreatic cancer. The doctor said, you have a month left. No more chemo is going to help you. Just go and die. And he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to, you know, figure it out. Fast forward. He started taking that and cured his own cancer. And now he's not even a doctor. He's just like, I'm just telling you everybody what I did. So fast forward the story. My dad found out about it. And my dad started taking that. Didn't take chemo. Doctors wouldn't even see him because insurance was lapsed or, you know, going, it's Medicare, going over and renewing. Anyways, my dad started taking it in July. Panacure, like it's $100 on Amazon for a month's supply of it, and vitamin D and CBD oil, those three things. And in January, he was cured of cancer. Like he doesn't have any more cancer. Didn't take chemo. Doctors didn't see him for like 3 or 4 months. And my dad was going so far downhill that he could barely walk. Now he's walking for, you know, 2 or 3 miles a day. He's in the garden. He loves gardening, turning over soil. But I say this because it really got me thinking. I've been always told you have to take chemo. You take chemo, you take chemo. But then I see my dad get better with no doctor intervention, just this. I'm like, what else can I be, not just questioning in a negative way, but like, I want to learn. What else have I accepted that I can now change? But what are your thoughts on all that?
Oh my gosh. Well, that is a beautiful story. I'm so happy for your father. It's funny because I've been listening to somebody on Facebook, a gal I know, and I think she's got the same exact story from a cancer that she's been fighting for many years. And she's like, I'm cured. And I was like, wait, but she, yeah, exactly the same protocol. So holy moly, like just us two people, you know, in a very short amount of time. So I love it. And here's the deal, folks, like, we're doing this in every aspect of our lives in some way, shape, or form. We make assumptions, we just go with the flow. And granted, we can't address all of it all at the same time, or we'd be completely overwhelmed. And that's why, you know, this situation, it's like life or death. He's got to make a choice. And I felt that on my trip to Paris. I was like, life or death, you've got to make a choice. Sadly, you know, or gratefully, we shouldn't have to have it be life or death before we change the way we look at life. I think that every single day really does warrant a check-in of like, am I actually creating my best possible life in this moment? Is there anything on my calendar that just makes me, you know, shiver because I'm so upset that I don't want to do it? Why, you know, are you doing it? Like literally looking and questioning assumptions is a very healthy thing to do. And I feel like that's probably my number one job as a coach is to help people question the natural tendency that they have, you know, because of past experiences, and get them to slow down and like take stock and really think, is this the best way forward? Some people are really good at this naturally. It's funny because I think our friend Monica, she's amazing at like doing this. So kudos to Monica. Like some people are very solid in this, but a lot of us aren't. I wouldn't say that I was. And so the book is there. Both of my books are there to help people kind of slow down and make sure that they're really thinking through how do you create this great life.
And I remember the first year of the Real Estate Wealth Builder Conference in 2022. We were in Phoenix, and you were a little nervous, not a lot, but a little nervous about getting on stage and
A
speaking.
lot.
You crushed it. And I know because everybody in the room was just kind of like, they were like pins and needles. They're just enthralled. And here is the mark of somebody who does really well at their craft, speaking or telling stories. The lady, and you know the story, the girl, she was, I don't know, 20 years old, 22 years old, that
Yeah.
took pictures. I hired her to take pictures for the event to, so we could remember it and all that sort of stuff. She's listening to you. Instead of taking pictures, she's listening to you while taking pictures. And she was so moved and she started crying. And I had to connect you guys. I was just like, wow, if Lisa can make the lady who's taking pictures move inside of her, like this is awesome. And obviously that's why you come back every year, because you bring such great value to everything that we do at Master Passive Income at RubeCon. That's why I love having you on the show. And so I want to quickly plug the Money Catalyst book. Depending on when this comes out, but it's coming out, your book is coming out Mother's Day. And so where can people find it?
Yeah, the best thing to do is go to moneycatalystbook.com, and that will be the perfect place for you to learn more about it. You could also go to wealthclinic.com/vision, and if you sign up there, you'll get like the first chapter of it for free, so you can figure out like is it calling to me, and then you'll know if it's meant to be. But
Well,
yeah.
definitely, everybody, you also should read Mindful Money or Mindful Millionaire. I went through that as well, read it. I think it was by 2021, I think, 2020, 21, when I first read it. I'm looking forward to the Money Catalyst as well. Now, on social media, your daughter's great at social media. Has she been helping you build up your Instagram as well?
She is so busy running her empire. I don't think she helps me too much, but I am at Lisa Peterson, Lisa Peterson, on Instagram and Facebook, and Mindful Millionaire on YouTube. That's been something that's been growing this past year because I had a video that went viral. It's been really fun.
I remember. That's awesome. Awesome. Well, do you have your podcast as well? Because you've had a
I
podcast. Are you still?
do. Yeah, I do still have the podcast. MindfulMillionaireBook.com is where that podcast is exactly.
Awesome. Lisa, this is fantastic. I'm so pumped to be able to hang out with you. Thank you so much for speaking at RubeCon. You bring such tremendous value. I mean, you and Adam Carroll, obviously Monica is going to be there. I mean, all these people, they're all friends. Like, hey, let's just have a party. Let's invite people and hopefully impart some wisdom to everybody. So, Lisa, thank you so much for being a part of RubeCon as well as being on the show. But also, thank you for being a friend. It's been really, really fantastic.
Likewise, thank you so much. Thank you for your kindness. And I really feel like that's the word that I always think of with RubeCon is just filled with kindness.
And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777, RENTAL to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.